This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
An arrest is typically what follows an indictment and then an arraignment. You know, there are no special procedures under the law for a former president, but often accommodations are made.
That is ABC legal analyst Kate Shaw speaking shortly after the news broke that the former American president Donald Trump has been indicted. That came out last night. We know that this is following an investigation into a hush money payment scheme. Now what? What happens next? What does this mean? And what do you believe this is going to have to do with the presidential campaign, the nomination? What does this mean for Trump's political career? Given this, does he have a chance in the election, or is this the end of the road for him? I said it at the outset. I saw some pundits last night bragging that Trump would have an impressive mugshot, that it would be so great, it'll be on t-shirts. And when we saw that he was saying he was going to be arrested a week ago, we know that he raised quite a bit of money, $1.5 million in the aftermath. What do you think? Ron DeSantis, who's expected to be his challenger for the presidential nomination, called this un-American, and he said he won't help with the extradition. Trump has had a very turbulent political career. I'd love to hear from you. 580-580. Joining us right now, Richard Painter is on the line, former chief White House ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
What happens now?
Well, Donald Trump will be arraigned in New York on Tuesday. I believe he's going to go up to New York voluntarily to appear in front of the judge. He'll almost certainly plead not guilty to the charge of falsification of business records, which is a felony in New York. And then they'll proceed to schedule a trial. We'll see, of course, what the public reaction is. The Trump supporters are already very, very vocal. And a few of them are threatening Bragg, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney, with violence. He's already been mailed white powder in the mail, all sorts of things going on. And Trump himself posted a social media photo of himself holding a baseball bat next to the head of the Manhattan District Attorney. So this is a really quite serious situation, not just the underlying charges, but the reaction to this criminal investigation and indictment.
When somebody is indicted, the charges are sometimes kept under seal, and that's until the first court appearance?
In this case, the indictment will be released on the next Tuesday. Sometimes indictments are released earlier, but that's what's going to happen here, and we'll see the details of the indictment, which is essentially about falsifying the business records of the Trump Organization to conceal another crime, which was a federal crime, failure to report the Stormy Daniels payoff to the Federal Election Commission during the 2016 campaign. But the New York case is about the falsification of the business records, which is an important New York statute. They don't want New York business records being falsified in order to conceal crimes in any jurisdiction, whether it's federal or state or anywhere else. New York businesses are supposed to be in legitimate business operations and not be falsifying their records to conceal criminal activity. And that's the message that Manhattan DA is sending here with this indictment.
He's been forging ahead with another bid for the White House. What do you believe this means for him politically?
Well, we'll see where this goes. I think that everyone understands it's perfectly legal to have sex with a porn star. It's probably illegal to pay her $130,000 to keep her mouth shut. But if you're running for president, that is a campaign expenditure. That should have been disclosed to the Federal Election Commission. It was not. Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, went to jail. And now Donald Trump is accused of falsifying business records in New York in order to conceal it. And that's serious. There are other much more serious crimes that could be charged against the former president by the Department of Justice, in particular, with respect to sedition and insurrection, the attempt to overturn the 2020 election and to seize control of the government on January 6th when Donald Trump was pressuring his vice president to declare the election invalid and declare him the winner and sent that mob up to the Hill that invaded the Capitol building. I think those charges of insurrection and sedition would be much more serious. And indeed, under our Constitution, 14th Amendment, Section 3, would disqualify him from ever serving in public office again. The New York charges, though, standing alone, would not disqualify him from public office.
Right. I think if you're a Trump supporter, if you're part of his base, once again, you're looking at this and you're saying this is rigged. He's being targeted. This is politically motivated. If you're a Trump hater, you'll say, I'm not surprised. This fits the narrative. This is the first of many potential indictments. He faces a swath of other criminal investigations and civil suits. I'm not surprised.
Yes, well, we'll see what happens here. I think the among the Trump supporters, those are diehard supporters of Donald Trump, no matter what he does, and they support his conduct on January 6th in the insurrection. But then there are a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump because they agree with his policies. A lot of staunch Republicans who certainly preferred his policies to Joe Biden, who voted for him for that reason, but who don't appreciate his conduct, particularly after January 6th and what he did there. And a lot of those people are moving on to Ron DeSantis or thinking about some other nominee that they could run against President Biden rather than having to carry the baggage of Donald Trump into the 2024 election.
Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Richard Painter, former chief White House ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush and a professor of law at the University of Minnesota. I'll say a couple of things here. He said this was going to happen. He raised a lot of money, $1.5 million in the aftermath. There are people, including one of his competitors, another person who is challenging him or expected to be challenging him for the presidential nomination, Ron DeSantis, who called this un-American. Yes, it is a pretty cataclysmic moment in terms of politics, and it is political baggage, as our guest rightly pointed out. But think about Trump's turbulent political career. I think the reality is it probably just further entrenches how people feel about him already. I mean, I'd love to find the focus group where one Trump supporter stands up and says, you know what? I supported him through all the rest of the stuff, but okay, hush payments and extramarital affair. Yep, no, this is it. This is my breaking point. This is the end of the road for me. I've changed my opinion. I'm moving on. Right? I don't think that is this moment. And I also think if he does become the nominee, that the integrity of Donald Trump is not the ballot box issue. It'll definitely be weaponized by the Democrats. It will definitely be covered by the media, as it should be. This is a dramatic development in American politics, and it does matter. But I do think everyday issues for Americans probably matter more. How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to keep the lights on? They're worried about their health. They're worried about climate change.
This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
422, welcome back to the show. 8 bodies have now been recovered from the St. Lawrence River in Akwesasne First Nation. Officials there this hour holding a news conference with more details. We're taking you live.
Hogansburg, Akwesasne Volunteer Fire Department for their relentless efforts since yesterday on our waters. The Akwesasne Mohawk Police are providing an update regarding discovering several bodies in the Akwesasne territory. Previously, 6 individuals were recovered from the waters in Akwesasne. Today, 2 additional bodies have been recovered. One, an infant, a Canadian citizen of Romanian descent, and 1 adult female believed to be an Indian national. A total of 8 bodies have now been recovered from the waters. All are believed to have been attempting illegal entry into the United States from Canada. The circumstances surrounding the deaths continue to be investigated. There is no threat for the general public. Akwesasne Mohawk Police are working with Immigration Canada and Homeland Security to confirm their identities so that the next of kin notifications can be made. Police are continuing to search the waterways for missing persons Casey Oakes, who was reported missing to the Akwesasne Mohawk Police yesterday. At this time, we cannot confirm that the two incidents are related. This is all the information that can be released at this time, as it is an ongoing investigation. We thank you for your cooperation. If you have any information to assist with either of the investigations, please contact the Akwesasne Mohawk Police Service at 613-575-2340. Thank you. At the present time, we don't know. We're searching for him. His whereabouts, we cannot precise.
The infant and the woman, where in the vicinity were they found?
All six bodies were found within the same vicinity off the channel in Snot.
What do you have to say about, we've gotten reports at any event that there were multiple calls made to amps the night Wednesday night around 11:30 that community members heard people on the river screaming for help and that they called amps. So can you give us some more information on that?
From what I've been told, the calls came in slightly earlier than that. They were not calls of distress or people screaming for help. They were more like calls of people shouting out in the vicinity of the river at the point where the church is located, or maybe possibly coming from St. Regis Island. At that point in time, our patrols patrolled the area, patrolled the shoreline. We also utilize special military-grade equipment that we have that permits us to see at night, commonly known as night vision. And also the apparatus has a component that permits you to seek body heat. And from what the officers saw while they were patrolling that area and investigating that area where the potential shouting may have came from, they were not able to see any human heat or any movement on the water.
How long were they out there searching at that time?
I don't have that for you right now, sorry, sir.
What about the incident before this where it was reported in the community that there was a man who lost control of his boat and was on one of the islands a couple of days before he was gone?
Well, right now I'm not prepared to answer that question, but I could get back to you if you want to give me precise dates. Yeah. We could talk at a later time about that particular situation.
An update from the chief of the Akwesasne Mohawk Police Service and the officials that are speaking now about the eight bodies recovered from the St. Lawrence River. We have more information up on our website. That news conference continues, but the audio, as you can hear, we're having a bit of a problem technically connecting with that. So we'll dip out of that for now. CTV is covering that. Nate Vandermeer has been at the scene today, and he'll have more coming up on CTV tonight. 3 minutes away from your newscast. Snowing out there this hour. Be careful if you're out on the roads. On the other side, we have our question of the day that is coming up. You can still weigh in on that. The Rogers takeover of Shaw, clearing a final hurdle. I have great concerns about competition, about the concentration of the telecom industry. This is a revised deal. They took a while to hammer it out, and the government today is touting that it's good for Canadians. Don't worry, we're protecting you. Do you buy it? Do you think these 21 conditions, the stipulations they put on it, go far enough? I'd love to hear from you. It's coming up.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
And we're rolling in.
Mr. Hollywood's Movie Picks.
Action.
Matt Demers, Mr. Hollywood, joins me in studio. It is time.
Huh?
For the great humiliation of 2023.
Are we doing it now?
It's Oscars Humiliation Day.
By the way, my...
Do you like that song?
No. By the way, my wife is... She's had it because when we do these recreations, she's the one that films me. And we did Banshees of Inisherin. And I did... I'm gonna tweet the video. I think we're going to play the audio.
Well, here's what we'll do. We're going to do your movie reviews weekend first.
Some big ones.
That'll give you time to tweet out the video of your reenactment of Colin Farrell in his character in Banshees of Inisherin.
Yes.
Stay tuned for that. We're going to play it on the air. He's going to tweet it out. If you're wondering why, it's because, again this year, Mr. Hollywood failed in his Oscars picks.
Just in my defense, too, I got I only got two wrong.
I know.
Out of five.
And in your defense, the way that you've set it up is pretty impossible. If you get one wrong, no, I mean you're at a major disadvantage. I'm defending you here.
Oh, okay, thanks.
You can get all of them right, and you get one of them wrong, and you have to be given this punishment.
Yeah, but usually
you're at a major disadvantage. But yeah. I kind of think you like it.
No,
because you're the one who's the architect of this. You set it up this way.
I like the pressure. Here's the thing: I usually
you do like it a little.
I usually get the best pitcher wrong. This year, I got it right. So that's a win for
me. I know.
That's a bit of a win.
I know.
Next year, all right. That's what's going to happen. Okay, I got to get to our big movie, Christy, because I'm excited to talk to you about this. I don't know if you know anything about the world of Dungeons & Dragons, but they've got a big new movie out. It's called Dungeons & Dragons: Honor Among Thieves.
Here's the thing. We're a team of thieves.
And when you do this, you're bound to make enemies. Sometimes those enemies come looking for revenge.
Truth be told, we helped the wrong person steal the wrong thing. We didn't mean to unleash the greatest evil the world has ever known. But we're gonna fix it.
So how do we pull that off?
Figure it out over a drink?
Probably best.
Dungeons and Dragons.
What's your, do you have any, did you play this?
I have never played it.
Okay. Well, here's, well, I'm asking that because I know a lot of people are really into it and some people have
into it.
And some people have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know anything is what I'm getting at because this movie is loads of fun. It's a big old popcorn. We got fantastical fun, mythological merriment, as I like to call it. It's really well crafted. It's witty. You know, it's a comedy action, and you got Chris Pine leading the way, and he's really great. But then you got Hugh Grant, and I don't want to ruin kind of a bit of a spoiler with his character, but he's playing a very Hugh Grant character, and it was really fun to watch. This movie surprised me, and I think for people that are really into Dungeons & Dragons, there's so many little Easter eggs, the side quests, the nods to that tabletop game. So they're going to get that out of it, but for everybody else, it's really just this rocking good time. I was really into it and impressed with how they put it all together. Maybe a bit of a shoddy CGI sometimes.
Oh, you can't have that for Dungeons and Dragons.
Sometimes.
Of all the movies.
Yeah.
You think they would invest on this one?
Well, there's so much CGI. Just some parts I was like, eh. Felt a little like 2003, not 2023. But it's not Game of Thrones, so it's not super serious. So you can really, like I said, a big old popcorn film. I'm all in for this, guys. 7.5 flaming thumbs out of 10.
Okay. Not enough to lure me to watch it, I don't think. I'm sorry.
Are you not a Chris Pine? Is that not you?
No, he's fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm not pining away for him. Dad joke.
A lot of people
he
do.
Set me up for that.
A lot
I apologize. I can't take that back, folks. Chris, you should have hit the 7-second delay on that awful joke. What's up next?
All right. Up next, we've got some silly comedy from Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston. It's a Murder Mystery 2.
Okay.
It's an Audrey!
Oh, my God! Have you ever seen anything like this?
A gift box.
Earrings?
An iPhone.
Those are going to get you in trouble.
You promise?
Oh.
How handsome are you, man?
I only have eyes for you.
Oh. And now it's time for Gloom.
The Maharaj has been kidnapped.
And all of you are suspects.
We're not going to be invited anywhere ever again.
Adam Sandler, yet again, in a comedy that he's in purely because he wants to be in a nice destination. You know, he actually admitted that many years ago on Late Night Talk on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He said 51st dates, he did that because he just wanted to go to Hawaii. So where are they this time?
They're in Paris.
Yeah,
they're in Paris. It's so true when he does those movies, Grown Ups. It's him, him and all his buddies, all his best friends.
Hanging out.
And that's what the movie is, just them hanging out.
Blended is in South Africa.
But people watch him and people love him. And this one was big enough on Netflix, by the way, that you can watch this one on Netflix. Big enough to get a sequel. which I thought was fine. I think Jennifer Aniston, by the way, we're talking about Sandler, but Aniston looks great and she's really having fun. And
she bleeds charisma. She can do anything.
She really does. She's like the other Jennifer Lopez.
Exactly.
They're kind of the similar.
I would watch anything with both of them, even though they're awful.
Very fun.
If you've seen
a Sandler film, you know what this is. I mean, this isn't Citizen Kane, folks. It's Adam Sandler. It's silly fun. If you're looking for a thought-provoking whodunit, this is not it. What this is comfort food. It's junk food. It'll entertain you for the hour and a half that it is on Netflix. So 6 flaming thumbs out of 10.
You know, I tried to click on this last night with Drake.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we're not watching that. Which is funny because I thought he would be lured in by Adam Sandler. It's not even that I wanted to watch it. I just didn't feel like watching anything serious.
It's fine. It's typical Sandler. It's forgettable.
But I did check out Kunk on Earth because so many of our listeners have been writing in and telling me that I need to watch it. And I was dying laughing. I had tears in my eyes. I'm on episode number 2. Philomena Kunk, the pretend journalist who does the show, is hilarious.
I've seen her clips on TikTok and you see them in your social feed. And I know exactly who you're talking about. And she is so fun. She's the queen of deadpan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So great.
And it's a bit in the style of Ali G.
Yeah.
You remember Sacha Baron Cohen used to do that. And not in, I wouldn't say the inappropriateness. She's a bit more above board with what she's saying, but just in the way that she makes the guests so uncomfortable with her idiotic comments. And they're squirming, like, what do I say to this poor woman? She has no idea.
And she can keep that straight face the whole time. It's so fun.
It's good. Is it time for the punishment?
All right. Can I set it up first?
Set it up.
All right. So Banshees of Inisherin, if you haven't seen it, the real one, by the way, on Disney+, nominated for an Oscar, didn't win anything. I took on the role of Colin Farrell. This is the scene where he's trying to find out why his friend doesn't like him anymore.
Now, if I've done something to you, just tell me what I've done to you. And if I've said something to you, maybe I said something to you drunk and I forgot it. But I don't think I said something to you drunk and I forgot it. With all me heart, I'll say sorry. Just stop running away from me like some fool of a moody school child.
I just don't like you no more.
But you do like me.
I don't.
You liked me yesterday.
Oh my word, you have outdone yourself. Can we get a round of applause for Mr. Hollywood? I don't know if that was quite an Irish accent, Danny.
It was a good... No. It was an attempt. We'll say it was an attempt and it was...
I thought...
Something I needed.
I think there were times where it was Irish.
Yeah.
And then it kind of delved into New Yorker. Like there was a bit of a, I'm walking here vibe to
that's
it.
What my wife said, very New York.
Is that what she said?
The Banshees of
New
York.
A little bit of New York.
The Cowboys of Inisherin, maybe?
So I tweeted the video. You can see the at Mr. Hollywood MD, by the way. And Colin Farrell is known in that movie for his eyebrow acting. So I had to put some Colin Farrell-esque eyebrows on.
Well, so he's always been known, even since the early 2000s, the heartthrob that many of us grew up lusting after. I had a picture of him on my wall growing up. He's always had the bushy brows.
Yes.
That's his signature look. But they were really bushy in that movie. What do you have on your face? You kind of look like Oscar the Grouch.
Well, those are fake eyebrows, but I had to color them in black with a Sharpie. I got them in Amazon, but they didn't come in black.
So they were blonde?
So some people,
you bleached the brow. No, you colored the bleached brows.
Sharpied them in,
Oh my.
I did a lot of work for this, and some people are saying I look a little bit like Eugene Levy.
You do?
That's what they're saying.
Oscar the Grouch meets Colin Farrell meets Eugene Levy. Ugh.
But next year's my year, guys. Next year's my year.
I got to give that one an 8.5 flaming thumbs.
Wow. You hear that?
There you go.
Okay, text in. Give us your review of Mr. Hollywood, Matt Damer's, and that performance. Truly, I think that might be your best yet.
I think so.
You're such a good sport.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. 10 out of 10. From me. That's right up there. I may be tied with There's No Crying in Baseball because you nailed the Tom Hanks delivery on that.
I was just about to say A League of Their Own.
Yep. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Christy.
Everybody, go enjoy that because on the internet, the beauty of it is that the lost Oscars bet lives forever. We'll be right back.
Maybe this will refresh your memory. Cause I gotta have faith.
Bueller.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
You are a toy!
Flashback Friday.
Bueller.
On News Talk 580 CFRA.
Tell us your favorite song that's a cover of an original song. Is this yours, Chris?
This would be mine.
Smooth Criminal.
But
is this Alien Ant Farm?
It is. They're a one-hit wonder.
You know what's really embarrassing about that? I didn't have to look it up.
No, you didn't.
I just knew that right off the top of my head. Oh. Bring it up. Okay, give us yours. I agree with you on that, Chris, by the way, as embarrassing as it may be. But we tell the truth. We tell the truth even about our embarrassing music choices on the show, which leads me to you, Danny.
That's me. All right, the next one is originally done by the Righteous Brothers and has been redone by so many artists. So I just had to pick one from the pile. Here we go.
Make it stop.
Chris is not a fan of this choice.
Unchained Melody by Leanne Rimes.
I'm sorry, the original was...
Yeah, the original is my favorite.
Okay.
But I put this on the list because it's been redone so often.
Right.
That, you know, just throwing out a version.
Now you have I Will Always Love You on the list.
Yes, I do.
And I'm curious to know which version that you actually like more.
Dolly Parton, she has my heart because she's the original, but her version is just the sweetest version. It's just the definition of sweet, but I do respect and love the Whitney Houston version.
You know, I'm going to get some hate with this. I think I'm on the Whitney version.
You know what? It's either one is great.
There are no bad choices in this.
No, it's just
on that song.
What are you feeling? Are you feeling something more laid back and sweet and adorable? Or are you feeling something more of a powerhouse, just wanting to get your power ballad out?
She reaches up.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's still in, actually,
yeah.
When she reaches up.
This
next one is originally classic rock,
mm-hmm.
which I think is my favorite version. Is it? It's hard to say. Proud Mary was by CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, written by John Fogerty, who I've seen twice, by the way.
I've seen him three times, yeah.
He's excellent.
He puts on a great show.
1969, I think, and again, it's a hard choice, but I think I have to go with CCR.
I know. But when the Tina Turner version does come on, don't you feel like doing the dance moves with her? Like,
yeah.
Everyone knows the Proud Mary moves.
Everybody is submitting Hallelujah, but by different people.
Yeah.
Can I put Katie Lang into the mix?
Sure. Throw her in.
Can I throw some Katie Lang in there? Where do you want to go with this, Danny? We've got a whole list of songs here.
Oh, my lordy. Well, I put this one on here for our colleague Chris Holsky. Originally done by the Beatles. Here's with a little help from my friends. I don't want to say it. So if you remember, I said at the onset when we did this that covering the Beatles is difficult. It is hard.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people can do it justice.
What about Stephen Harper?
Like I said, not a lot of people. But the Joe Cocker version.
Some shade for Harper.
I'm just saying, the Beatles are sacred. But anyways, Joe Cocker did this version, and it's great. And Holsky and I did a little show for everybody in the newsroom one day. We got really into it.
I believe that was also the theme from Wonder Years with Fred Savage.
I saw Joe Cocker live in Hamilton. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Not a letdown like Bob Dylan.
Good.
Somebody here says, yeah, Stephen Harper did that song. Play that version. Can we dig that up? Oh, yeah. Now, many, many people submitted Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Leonard Cohen edition. There's the Katie Lang version. Who else sings Hallelujah? Who doesn't sing Hallelujah?
Pentatonix.
Really?
Does it?
But this person here has submitted the version by Jeff Buckley.
The minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composing Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
That is beautiful. And haunting as always. Todd in Brayside says, Live and Let Die, but the version done by Guns N' Roses.
Makes you give in and cry. Say, Live and Let Die. Live and Let Die.
Another listener said your song, but not the Elton John version.
Yeah, never
heard. The version Janet Devlin does.
And you can tell everybody this is your soul. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done.
Pretty good. Keep those coming. It is 4:59. I think to celebrate that it's Friday, we should go out.
Here we go.
With good old Stephen Harper. And his cover.
What would you do if I...
Quiet down. We want to hear. Stop applauding. Let the man sing.
I appreciate the effort.
Well, you couldn't get high with the help of the government at that point.
No.
It wasn't legal yet. 5 p.m., your news is next.